Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
Clarence Court is home to Britain's widest collection of free-range eggs since 1928. Our traditional heritage birds produce a distinctively rich and iconic yolk that takes home cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Loved by chefs and favoured by foodies, each shell is stamped with its own royal crown. It's time for you to discover the wonderful world of fabulous eggs by fabulous birds. Clarence Court.
This podcast may contain some strong language and adult themes. Oh, hello, and welcome to Dish from Waitrose. I'm Nick Grimshaw.
And I'm Angela Hartnett.
How are you, Ange?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm particularly hungry today.
Particularly? Why is that? You mean at the gym?
Not this morning, but I felt like yesterday I had felt like I was in a deficit or something.
Deficit?
Yeah, like I'd not ate enough or something. I was starving.
Low sugar levels.
So I've done a rollover. So today, I'm starving.
I'm loving your sort of budget and chancellor metaphors here about you your rollover and your deficit.
It's a rollover.
You listen to Radio
deficit.
4 again, haven't you?
I have, yeah. Every morning. How are you? What's been happening?
Oh, lots of stuff being out. I was in Canada and Scotland. Yes, a few weeks ago.
Were you in Canada?
Cooking.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where?
Vancouver.
Oh, nice.
Which is bloody miles away.
Yeah. How come you went to Vancouver to cook?
Because the chef Andrea and her team came over and cooked with us last year. Mm. So it was reciprocated, and I went over there for them.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was great.
Never been to Canada. My dad loved Canada.
They are the most nicest, kindest, sweetest people ever. So polite, so lovely. Very, can do anything to help you. I loved it. It was great.
Quite like a Canada trip, like out in the wilderness.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah, not loads of people. Not Vancouver.
Well, welcome home.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Are you ready for today?
Ready, indeed.
Before we get into our guests, I want to talk to you about my mum.
I think
it's something that your mum's guilty of as well.
Ooh.
If I were to look in your mum's cupboards... Mm. Would the food be out of date?
Oh, God, yeah. Right. Well, not so much the cupboards. It's more the spices.
Spices, yeah.
And actually, interesting, my brother has a game because he lives out in New York. And the other day I was tidying mum's drawers and he was giving me instructions about stuff to do. And I said, I'm not sitting here doing nothing, Michael. And I sent him a picture because now you've ruined my game. I said, what's your game? He goes, every time he goes to mum's, he guesses which is the oldest spice. And what's the date? And he goes, and he looked and he said, I think it's the one on the left. It's that Sarsen's vinegar. I'm saying 1997.
My mum had spices from the 90s.
There you go.
And she's like, they don't go off, they dry.
No, they do. Well, apparently, because I'm guilty of that as well, but
Not
at the restaurant. According to Atul Kutcher, who's an amazing Indian chef, he gave us this lovely spice box, Neil and I, and he said every 3 to 6 months you should clear out spices. Yeah.
Oh.
So they're smart. The smart people at Waitrose are clever having them in the small
little
pots.
Ones. They've got the Atul
Don't
advice.
Buy kilos of them because they're going to
Unless you're going to cook kilos.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my God, Atul with the spice advice.
Spice advice.
That's a good one. Atul. I like that. Well, my mum's spices are from like the 90s. Genuinely from the 90s. I'm like, by the way, they're like a quid. Like, throw it out and get a new one. And she's like, it's fine. I've only had that since 1996.
Since you were born.
Hey, we have a duo of guests joining us today on Dish. We have Jordan North and William Hansen. Mm. You will know them from their podcast that they had together, Help I Sexted My Boss, which has been turned into a book as well last year. They are so good together. And they, shouldn't work together, really, should they? Like, if you saw them separate, you'd never think, oh, I'll put Jordan and William together.
Yeah.
But they just work so well together. And the podcast is so fun and so easy to listen to and got, so many fans. Have you met either of these guys? Met William and never met Jordan?
No.
Oh, you're in for a treat today, I feel.
Yes, good, good. No, they look fun. I've listened to their podcast, watched them in Benidorm, and read a bit of the book. So, they're good fun.
They are very fun. So, let's get our guests in. Okay, today on the podcast, we have two guests who I feel like if Waitrose and the corner shop got married... It would be Jordan North and William Hansen, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Look at this.
Do you know what I mean?
He's more Harrods, I'm more Happy Shopper.
Yeah. Shout out Happy Shopper.
Yes.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having
pleasure,
us.
Pleasure.
Oh, we're dead excited you're here. Mm. I've been more nervous about, I mean, I know Jordan, but I've been nervous about meeting William. I felt like, you know, as an etiquette expert, everything that I've done has been judged.
No.
No.
Well, it's been judged to be lovely and welcoming
great.
And has
okay. Even the glass, I was like, will this glass be all right for him?
Nick, everybody's like this with him. Every time, everywhere we go, they're all like, oh God, even my mum, even my mum, and she's met him a few times, she's like, do you think my dress is all right? he took my mum to Soho House in London.
Yeah.
And you could not believe her face. She's like, I'm in Soho House.
it was just for some eggs on toast. It wasn't anything exciting.
Literally, she moved to Spain a few years ago and she's told everyone in Spain about it since. Yeah. I went with the UK's leading etiquette expert.
I chose there because it's just the tube stops that I get off at. It's a very direct walk, so it's very convenient.
Yeah. It's so handy.
Don't go to any effort, as much as I love your mother.
Yeah. Shout out to Wendy. Yes. How is she? Love
she's
Wendy.
Good, actually. She's really good. Yeah, she rings me all the time and... She's currently in Spain. She says I never ring her enough, but every time I ring her, she's on Lady Petrol, as she calls it, Prosecco. She's like, I'm with your Auntie Kath. We've just been to book club and they wouldn't know culture if it hit them in the face. She says, ring me back. I'm two bottles deep. And I'm like, right.
Oh, God.
Okay. She says I never ring her. Every time I am, she's plastic.
She just doesn't remember.
She's got the life. That's the dream life out there.
Yeah.
I know.
It's what we all aspire to.
Yeah. Just smashed in Spain.
Yeah. Honestly, when this is all over, I'm going to do exactly the same.
Yeah, same.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where is she living in Spain?
It's in Almería, Murcia. And they do it with a lisp now because they think they're Spanish.
Oh, Spanish, yeah.
Yeah, she goes, Murcia, do you want some chorizo?
Oh, my God. William, actually, where do you sit on that? Because, you know, you've got those, not you, I mean me, but we've all got those unknown friends that like, oh, I'm off to Paris or like Ibiza. Oh, no. It's like, you don't have to say it like that.
No, I'm all for anglicising things.
Right, okay.
I'd probably say chorizo, I'd anglicise it. I wouldn't say chorizo.
No.
Yeah.
But that was only because there was a king in Spanish history that had a lisp and started to say everything. And so this is going back hundreds of years.
There you go.
And so in order to make him feel more comfortable, the courtiers started to lisp as well. Just like it was Edward the VII was very large and so couldn't do the bottom button on his waistcoat. And so it became the etiquette not to do your bottom button on a waistcoat, because otherwise you'd fat shame Edward the VII.
Oh, no.
that was the idea.
Not doing that. Yeah. Where do you stand with that, Ange? Because, you know, you...
Well, fat shaming Edward
the VII. No. Yeah, I wanted to know.
A bit
harsh. How do you stand with that? Yeah. No, with... because, you know, you're run many an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
Do you expect people to order with a...
or a no.
Del Leon.
Gosh,
no. No, if they do...
No, not at all. What? I mean, people get annoyed actually sometimes if you put too many Italian words. Like something
how
like...
How dare you?
How dare you?
Italian.
In England, you know. But no, I don't. But I remember we were in Paris one time and my brother thought he was being clever speaking to whoever it was in his really bad French and they just replied in English. I mean, if that's not the biggest put down, it's like, don't even bother. Just talk to us, you know. But no. I think
what if somebody ordered spag bol in an Italian restaurant? They wouldn't like that, would they?
Well, I've got my own issues on a different level because traditionally, and I think William will back me up, hopefully, it's never spag bol in Italy. It's always tagliatelle or pappardelle or fettuccine. So we have, you know, anglicised it by using spaghetti.
Why did we decide to do that here?
I've no idea.
Yeah, like,
but anyway, we would never have spaghetti bolognese on the menu. We would have tagliatelle bolognese or fettuccine, but never spag bol.
I was filming in Spain with a show with Beverly Callard.
Yeah.
And we were in, where were we in Spain? And they made us a proper paella. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and
nice.
We stopped for filming. The Spanish guy said, do you know Jamie Oliver? I said, no. He said, if you ever see him, tell him he's not welcome in Spain. I was like, oh my God, why? We never put prawns or chorizo in paella.
Yeah,
and apparently that's
true.
A British thing.
Are they vegetarian paellas?
No, it's rabbit.
It's all meat. You got to be careful. People get really patriotic about how things are done.
But I think cassoulet, am I right in saying, I've said this to you yesterday actually, cassoulet was meant to be goose originally, but then Julia Child changed it to chicken. American housewives.
I always think duck with cassoulet, but I can imagine that's probably true, actually. Yeah.
They just went American's Cassoulet.
Cassoulet, the French. Yeah. I thought
what cassoulet is. What is it?
Like, is it casserole?
Stew? Yeah-ish. Yeah.
It's lots of it's beans, and then you have sausages, you have chicken in there, you have duck in there, you know, loads of things. And it's basically like, it's similar to my paella, but it's southern France that do it, you know, and it's beautiful, you know, really hearty sort of food. Big dollop of mustard, that sort of thing. Lovely. Good red wine. Not you're not getting that today, mind you.
Oh. No.
Start the car.
Yeah, no, it's not happening. So we always love when a duo comes for tea, because it feels more like a, you know, we're hanging out rather than we're doing an interview. So we're really happy that you guys are both here. You guys both met, I'm right in saying, because Jordan, you worked for William? No?
Ooh, close enough.
You were William's runner.
So I was was a tea boy at Radio 5 Live. Yes. I was on work experience and he was a guest on one of the shows. Right,
okay. Close.
And we were both 21 at the time, both still in uni. And he was claiming even then to be the UK's leading etiquette expert.
Just said it.
At 21, and it stuck. And I remember making him, I made him a brew in a chip mug, and he didn't drink it. And I thought at the time, like, he was in his, late 30s, early 40s, because of how he dressed.
I know. He's brutal.
We're the same age.
Was it the smoking jacket that you were wearing? You know, like the cravat.
Yes. And I thought he'd like go home to his little Liberian wife and have
a sherry. Terrible judge of character.
He didn't have a wife.
No.
And we never thought we'd see each other again, did
we? No, but the corridors at that BBC, which is demolished now since they built Media City, were so long. So you had a really long time, almost an awkward amount of small talk with people. But he was making me laugh, and I would go in probably every week. But there was Jordan this week, and he was making me laugh, and you know, he said goodbye to me at reception. I thought, well, you know, we won't keep in touch, but that was
that was nice. Yeah.
That was nice, and then you moved in with some mutual friends.
Yeah, our mutual friends were holding this. How long ago it was? An Olympic 2012.
Oh gosh, yeah.
An opening ceremony one. And my housemate said, I've got a mate come around tonight. He's a bit posh. You won't like him, just don't be rude. And he called William up and said, my housemate's a bit rough around the edges.
You won't like him.
You won't like him, don't be rude. And he took the piss out of me all night and I just fell in love with him, literally. Yeah. I was like, this guy is hilarious.
And look at us now.
Hello.
Yeah. And did when you first, you know, fell in love when the moment happened. Yeah.
We're not a couple, by the way.
No, we're not a couple.
There was a point where... No.
Where's this going? I was really drunk. No, I'm joking.
No, there was a point where we talked about this on the podcast in like series one or two, where we had sort of agreed, before I was engaged to my now husband, we were going to be safety relationships.
Yeah.
And if we were both single at, 40 or 50, I can't remember the age, we'd get together. But luckily, Mikey said yes, and Jordan dodged that bullet. Yeah. So that was fine.
Oh,
my word.
Angela.
Oh, my God.
That looks incredible.
So today, for you guys, we've gone for a rarebit mac and cheese, which I guess is like a... I've never had a rarebit mac and cheese. I always thought rarebit was confined to toast.
Oh, no. Well, it's basically a cheese sauce.
What have you done here? Cheese sauce.
Yeah, so what's gone on here, Ange?
So normal macaroni cheese is a macaroni with lots of cheese and in a white sauce. Mm-hmm. And we've done the same, but we've added Guinness to it.
Lots of those
spices have with, Welsh rabbit, which is, you know, so we've got cayenne pepper, a little bit of mustard in there. We've also got some Worcester sauce in there. So it's all that sort of stuff that gives it that lovely sort of, lovely spicy
it
sort of cheese.
It smells fantastic.
And then I've made a little cabbage slaw to go with it.
I hate to say it, when I saw we're having mac and cheese, I know people get excited about it, but sometimes I'm like,
oh, I love it.
It's a bit like, all right. This feels like it's got a bit more depth and
it's
a spice and taste.
It is,
Yes, no, it's very nice.
It's really good.
And what have you done the coleslaw in?
So the coleslaw is just shredded white cabbage with lots of different herbs in there. We've got parsley, we've got dill in there, a bit of tarragon, and then a mustard vinaigrette. So just vinegar, mustard, Dijon mustard, olive oil and seasoning.
Is that the one that your mum does?
My mum's one, yeah. And
that
clove of garlic.
That is the vinaigrette.
Clove of garlic that sits in the vinaigrette.
And you just leave it in the fridge with the
leave
clove
it in the
and
fridge,
party.
Yeah.
For however long you want.
Gorge. Lovely. Angela, can I ask you where you stand on coleslaw versus the more modern slaw? why have we ditched the coal? Or is there a logical reason?
Well, people say salt. Yeah, well, I think it's a mayonnaise thing. There's no mayonnaise, so I wouldn't call it cold salt.
Oh, yeah. But that may just mean mayonnaise?
Was it no, that's
Coleman's mayonnaise?
This is just my interpretation.
William, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
It's a great point. I've not thought of that.
It's the same as... We used to call it an avocado pear.
Yes.
Then it became an avocado, and now it's just an avo.
Mm. Well, no, I don't call it avo.
And then in 5 years, it's just going to be like... It'll just be a sound.
I'd never had avocado until I moved to London.
Same.
Honestly.
I'd not.
Honestly.
Same.
It was mad.
I think that's an age thing, because my mum still calls it an avocado pear.
Yes, I think it's very smart.
And my mum went to the hotel we run in the New Forest today, which she had the amazement. She goes, I just would love an avocado pear with some vinaigrette. And that's what, but it was real 70s sort of style food.
The height of sophistication.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'd never had one until I came to London, Jordan, as well.
Yeah.
Did you find there was stuff, I'd not had hummus, I'd not had a sweet potato.
Oh, you can't move for them now.
No, I know now. Mm. But when I first came down, it was like a whole new world.
It's mad.
It really blew my mind. Do your family complain that you've ever gone London?
Yes, I remember that... all right, gob. I remember the first time I started working in London and I'd moved down and I'd come up after about 6 weeks. And I said to my dad, I went, well, what are you and my mum doing tonight? And he was like, no. I said, oh, we'll go out for some dinner. He said, dinner? It's past dinner time. I said, oh, sorry, I meant tea. He went, oh, it's dinner now, you're down there in London. And he looked me straight in the eye and went, it's tea in this house.
Do you like serving from the table? You know, like when people call it family style, which is like help yourself.
Yes, well, you've got a lovely wine table.
I love the way Jordan's like, no, it doesn't.
Nice wine table, so it works. I think if you've got quite a narrow table, it doesn't work, and it's easier to do it on the side or just plated. But
yeah.
I don't object to
No, you don't object, okay.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah, there's a time and a place. Right. There's a time and a place.
When he comes to my house, it's very much, I just put it all on table, knife and forks in a pot in the middle, it's like, help yourself.
It's like going to Wetherspoons, basically.
Angela, this is really
this is
delicious.
Amazing. Angela, this is, I could kiss you. This is delicious.
Can we get the recipe for this? Mm. Is this available?
It is available.
Waitrose.
If you want to try this rare bit mac and cheese that we're having, it's a recipe by Alexina Anatoly. You can find this recipe and all the recipes we have, waitrose.com/dish recipes. And we've got a wine pairing suggestion.
We have, yes.
And what would go perfect with
it's
this?
It's a Bourgogne Blanc by Marc Duet. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely oak Chardonnay with citrus aromas and a hint of honey.
Or we're also having...
Guinness.
A Guinness.
Yes!
Because there's Guinness in the recipe and we know you love a Guinness, Jordan.
I love a Guinness.
Yeah. When I see a Guinness, I do think of you.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It's that's how strong your brand
we
connection
are called,
is.
We are called... We're called the vegans of drinkers because, like, how do you know when someone drinks Guinness? Because they'll tell you.
Yeah, true.
We never...
It's like, it's my personality.
It literally is. Yeah. And like someone texted in the other day, you know, every now and then you get a text that stings you when you're on the radio. And it just went, why can't you say you're just going for a pint instead of say you're going for a pint of Guinness? I was like, because I have to let everybody know. I love the stuff.
Yeah. Cheers, guys. Cheers. Welcome. Thanks for coming round.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Thank
cheers.
You.
Oh, are we going to clink?
Oh, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to look in the eye.
Well, you in certain cultures, it's considered bad luck to not make eye contact. And in other cultures, it's bad luck to look in the eye. So
what is ours? What are you suggesting?
Yeah, you sort of look at each other, yes.
Clinking's common, he said.
Depends on the type of glassware. If you have quality glassware, then the idea is that you don't clink. I think we'll be fine with these. Yeah. So that's okay.
How I Sex to My Boss is now in its 9th series.
So mad.
It's been... We're now always on.
Yeah,
so it's on. I don't really know what number we're on. Mm. We used to do series. Mm. But now it's just off on. We go. I think loosely we call it Series Infinity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's over 400 episodes.
Well, yeah, I know. We started it as... It was our friend Stuart who's here. He was like, you two should do a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we pitched it to certain people and they didn't want it. So we thought, well, let's do it anyway.
Yeah.
And we thought we'd do 2, maybe 3 series. Mm. And now it's gone from strength to strength, like sold out tours and a book. Mm. And it's mad. And it's of everything I do... It's the least stress. You just go in like you used to. I'm saying this in front of all your production company. You probably do all the hard work.
And just go
in. We do not. And we just go in and chat. How's your week? Yeah. Oh, I seen this week. Mm. And we just love doing it.
It doesn't feel like work. It's just fun. to just sit
and it's
chat
essentially
with
lots of people writing and asking you about life questions in a way.
You know. So the second half, we do dilemmas from the listeners, sort of conceived as, you know, if you have sent a saucy message to your employer and it was meant for someone else, how? What do you do? How do you cope? Actually, we have never actually addressed the title of our podcast in the podcast, but we have done it in the book. But
it's available now.
But it's sort of modern etiquette.
Do you get people asking you stuff like, oh, I listen to the podcast. Can I ask you, do you?
Yeah.
And is it serious advice people?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. And then it's actually, or they'll sort of message on Instagram or whatever with, oh, I don't want to write this into the podcast because, you know, the podcast is sort of funny. And then it's a really serious problem. No. In fact, actually, there is a really serious problem that someone keeps messaging me about that I have had to sort of reply with, I am not qualified to deal with this.
Yes.
Here is the telephone number. Yeah. You need to phone this person or this company, organisation. No. And so I've had to sort of really push back on that because I don't want to be accountable if anything awful happens.
No, you can't give bad advice to that. Well, he's
yes.
A lot of people tend to come up to me and go, I'm more like you and the other half's more like William.
Yeah.
He's from the Cotswolds, so he's a bit posh. But I'm from Barnsley, and I'm like, oh, okay. So a lot of people tend to do that. We're friends, and I'm very much like William, and she's like Jordan. I'm like, oh, cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for that. Yeah. Do you think William gets more of the actual advice?
Yeah. Definitely. And he gives really good advice.
Well, sometimes.
No, genuinely, I'm just thinking, I hear a letter sometimes, think, right, how can I be funny here? Whereas William's like, oh no, you genuinely do give good advice. Oh, and I pick it up, like, I've learned so much from him. Like now, I was having soup in a restaurant recently and I scooped the soup away from me. That's how you're meant to eat soup. What else? There's loads of stuff, isn't
there? Now, don't take this the wrong way. You at weddings, you go and, going back to what we were saying about Edward VII, you go and unbutton grooms or groomsmen's bottom buttons on waistcoats.
Waistcoats, because you should have your bottom button. Yeah. And I never take my jacket off at the table because that's quite rude if you're in a suit.
Really?
Yeah, so there's little things he tells me.
Sat in a suit jackets.
Oh, it's hard work.
Yeah. Nice, isn't it?
But you can ask, can I remove my jacket?
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Okay.
You can.
Nice.
And if the host does it, you can do it.
If the host does it,
Do you think you've become a better human, essentially, on the behavioural front since meeting William?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I've got Diptyque candles now.
Oh, wow.
Which, for a while, he was pronouncing as Dick Pick candles.
Dick Pick, He used to be Yankee candles, and now...
He bought me my first Diptyque, and I'm like, oh, I get this.
Oh, okay.
So if a bit of work comes in, or I've had a good month, I'm like, I'm going to treat myself to a Diptyque. Yeah.
We have a question about etiquette. That we thought could be great. Quite like to hear Williams and Angela's. I am an amateur home cook and I love to cook different dishes. I like to be creative. I like to add my own spin on other chefs' recipes. I've pinched some of Angela's from her books. My question is, my husband always says, no more than 5 elements on the plate. Sometimes they can go a bit overboard, make it look a bit like fine dining. Do Angela and William agree with my husband? Is less more?
That's a great question.
She also has another one. Okay. Carry on.
Yeah,
also, cheeky extra question. When it comes to plating a dish, is it all in the middle or on the side of the plate moving inwards? That's from Amy, who says, somewhere in the north.
Generic north.
Yeah, vague. Yeah,
okay. Generic north.
It reminds me of an article I wrote when I did my Daily Mail column years ago on how to tell if you're having an upmarket roast lunch.
Okay.
And I said, less is more on the plate, where you sort of see it, where it's this pile of vegetables and Yorkshire puddings with everything.
Like Toby Carvery.
Yes. Is perhaps not as sophisticated. And I think it was, you know, the meat, potato, and maybe I think I said 2 types of vegetables. So I guess she's sort of alluding to that. But I would also say, and I'd be interested to hear Angela's point, it depends on who you are cooking for, what it is, if it's just dinner that you're having on your own versus if you're doing an entire 3-4 course dinner for friends and actually you don't want to overwhelm them with lots of food on each course. Yeah. But probably less is more is probably better.
Yeah, I am with William on this one. And if to use your analogy of roast, I would do the meat on the plate, maybe the potatoes and some gravy.
Yes.
And then I would put the veg on the table and people can help themselves. Because I hate it when you see a plate that's overloaded.
Yeah.
I think it's too much. At the end of the day, it's about having delicious food. And It's the argument you use when chefs write menus and they make their menus so complicated. It's like everything has to be brilliant. Mm-hmm. So the less you have to do, the less things have to be brilliant. So be smart about it.
That's a good,
you know, it's like some chefs, you go and have 20 sort of chocolates or petit fours after a meal. That means 20 have to be brilliant. Whereas if you do three amazing ones rather than substandard 15, you know what I mean? That's the way I look at it.
And then that bonus question. This might be a bit sort of restaurant-y rather than private home or Nouvelle Cuisine type stuff, but I was always taught you put the meat or the fish sort of towards the bottom of the plate traditionally. But the whole going in, is that... That's a very fancy restaurant thing. I really don't know what she's on.
No,
about.
I don't. If I'm absolutely, and no disrespect to the lovely lady, what's her name?
Amy.
Just because I just think you know, if you're having a bowl of stew or something, you're going to put the potato there, and maybe
it's also not going to stay wherever you put it anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. And whereas I think the meat you probably put slightly to the side, but if you go to a restaurant and it's all over one side, I think it's style over substance. Mm. They're worrying about that more than worrying about what it tastes like.
Oh, did you see? There was a documentary. I'm told various people got in touch about. I think it was Gordon Ramsay, who with the new one at the Savoy.
Yes.
And they sat down, and the plates were too big because they hadn't seen because they. And that's my pet hate with restaurants is the chefs are fantastic, the food is brilliant, but sometimes you sort of forget, well, actually, is it practical for the waiter to take it to and from the plate? How about the person? Can you rest your cutlery like this or is it going to slope inwards?
Yeah.
And the food is, of course, 95% of the meal, but there is a little bit
extra. If you're constantly fishing out your cutlery, or as you said earlier, if you're like this on the table and then, you know, no, you've got to think of everything.
Yes.
And that's key, actually.
I heard on your podcast when you were talking about ordering off the menu. So you were saying you wouldn't, if it was like lamb with blah, 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 you wouldn't read out the whole thing. You'd just be like, I'll have the lamb.
I
only picked that up recently. From William, so I'd be like, I'll have the lamb with the potatoes and the dove. The lamb with the chicken.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Sorry, William always says, I'll have the lamb.
Yeah.
Yes. Any side vegetables, you say those.
Yeah.
But rather than reading the
whole thing.
I'll have the lamb, I try and read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try and read the whole thing.
You'll have the lamb.
Why, though?
As if they've never heard it. Like, they put it on the menu. And I was like, I'll have the peppered seared lamb.
That's what I do.
And they're like, yeah, no, I know what it's called.
Yeah, I know. And they wait and they just put the lamb. Yeah.
They're just going in the kitchen going, lamb.
Yeah.
Right, that's it.
You know, it's true.
They are.
Three lamb, two beef, and a turban.
Is there anything that you... They're just shouting it through the door, aren't they? Before you guys go, we want to...
Oh, look at this.
So there's a cloche coming.
There's a cloche arriving on a board, dead posh. Underneath the cloche, what we have here is what we've assembled, a Jordan North favourite... A picky tea.
Oh, look at that.
Now,
thank you.
You can tell Waitrose sponsor you.
Look at that. That is a proper one, isn't it?
That is. Look, the scotched egg, sausage rolls. Mm-hmm. You got piccalilli.
Yes.
This is a solid...
It's a serious one. I art directed this myself.
Did you?
Because we had a call about one. Because Angela apparently said in the week that you didn't know what picky tea was.
No.
Somebody else asked me that this week.
And Claire didn't know what it was, did you? So I was like, what, Jim? Well...
In certain parts of the country, they call it a party tea or a carpet picnic. Or
never heard of those expressions.
Freezer tapas.
Yeah. Carpet picnic, I really dislike.
Yeah, it's a bit icky.
Yeah, I don't like it. But sounds
I'll say, did you say fridge tapas?
Fridge tapas.
I've heard of that.
And I've made it my thing. And my mum said, we just used to make it you when we were hungover. I've talked about my mum drinking a lot on this.
So we love it. Three times. Yes. Next time.
So she'd like get all picky bits out, put crisps in a bowl, and it'd be a picky tea.
I love it.
I met mine with like turkey dinosaurs and... But you don't know what they are, Angela. It's fine. Smiley faces.
Imagine.
So do you do a hot one?
Yeah, so it's basically what's left over. I've made it with Yorkshire puddings in freezer before. Yeah. Put them in.
Well, we've gone for like a cold one. I suggested scotch egg pork pie, bit of cheese, bit of ham, sausage roll. This is a bit of a curveball, but I thought this could be nice. That's like a whipped feta.
Which I thought
could be nice and a bit of bread.
Baby bell.
Olives. A cornichon. Now, this one is rogue.
Chickpeas.
I thought they were big marrow fat peas.
Which I'm told is a go-to picky tea essential now.
Mm.
Oh. I feel like a plain chickpea.
No, you need to dress it up.
I'm going
to
try it.
I'm going to have some. What would you call it?
A cold collation. That's what I'd probably call it.
A buffet.
Yes. But I can, look, I can already feel my arteries saying thank you to all of this. So
all of this. Yeah. Is there a posh version of a piggy tea? Is that like charcuterie board?
Well, I guess. Yeah, it's a bit middle class. But yeah, I would just
but
call
tea
it...
tea is a tea thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, tea.
In the etiquette world, you would have tea at, what, 4 o'clock?
Four-ish, five-ish,
and you would have a selection of sandwiches, cake,
Bread and butter,
all of that.
Cake, not patisserie.
Yes, you see, patisserie I love would an be private home. Tea. I love the
sorry,
sandwiches.
Patisserie is restaurant.
Yeah.
Private home is cake.
It's yeah,
cake.
I love a cake. And
I might have
tea.
One of these pieces.
Please,
this is
get involved. Yeah, they're my favourite.
Thank you very much.
Would you ever do something like this down Murano?
I sort of do stuff like this, but... It's like after, it's like that to me, Boxing Day.
Yes. Mm.
It's that sort of
yeah.
stuff,
that's
you know.
That's Piggy Tea season.
Yeah. Yeah. That is Piggy Tea season.
That's Piggy Tea season. We come to the end of the show question. If you answer the question correctly, you will win a Waitrose goodie bag.
Oh,
so that
oh.
is basically your big shop done for the week.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. It's good.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's that good.
Wendy's going to be well up for this
oh,
if
yeah.
I win it.
Straight to Wendy's this. Okay, to win the goodie bag, please play our Mr. and Monsieur quiz. Get your questions right and you will win that back. William, question for you about Jordan. What is the only item listed under personal life on Jordan's Wikipedia page?
Is it to do with Burnley Football Club?
No.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Not to do with football club.
That's his entire identity.
Mm. And Guinness.
And Guinness.
I'll give you
Oh, brothers?
No. I'll give you a clue. It's to do with education.
Oh, the University of Sunderland.
Absolutely yeah. correct.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah.
And that he's an honorary something.
Honorary
fellow.
He was gutted that I got a fellowship before him. He was like, you're going to get an OBE before me at this rate.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Right, that bag is yours, William. Congratulations.
Oh, that was easy. I think you helped me consider.
I did, so I'll take
I'll allow you to have something.
Yeah, I'll take the wine out of it. Jordan, your question about William is, how long did William stay on the mechanical bull for in Benidorm? Oh, cast your mind back.
Can I just say, he hated Benidorm, by the way. To the point where my mum and dad came because they thought it'd be fun. And we thought it'd be a laugh. He hated it.
I thought I was a very good sport.
He was on the ball. I couldn't quite believe that breakfast, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Breakfast. That was insane.
That we filmed at 3:30 in the afternoon.
But never mind that. Even if you filmed it at breakfast time, you couldn't have eaten all that. Anyway, answer.
How long do you think he was on that ball for?
1 minute, 20 seconds.
Oh, close. 1 minute, 2 seconds.
Oh.
Well, we'll give him that.
Yeah, we're giving
him that. He got the right numbers.
He got the right numbers.
I think, more importantly, I lasted the longest, I think.
Did you?
Yes. Because Jordan had a go and Ben, our producer, also had a go.
Wow, giddy up, William.
But he probably had a hangover.
Guys, thank you for coming round.
Thank you so much for having
us. Lovely to see you. The bags are yours. The picky tea you can take home.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's all yours.
We will
take it home.
Take the cloche, William.
Thank you.
A round of applause for William and Jordan, everybody.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That was lovely.
Oh,
thank
that was
you.
So nice.
Oh, Angela, thank you.
It was the best podcast I've ever done.
Yeah,
the
best one ever. Everyone.
Oh, stop.
Could you sign my book after?
Next week on Dish, we have Kaya Scodelario. People always say to me, like, who have you interviewed that's horrible?
But that's all they ever want to know, and they never want to know who's nice.
No.
And it's like...
And I've never really interviewed anyone horrible.
No. What about when you interviewed me and I was about 15 and we were at an underage festival and I was really drunk and you were going, can you speak?
You were delightful.
Details of all the delicious meals I've cooked on Dish can be found at waitrose.com/dishrecipes. All the links are in our show notes.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why not leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts?
Dish is an SE Creative Studio production.
Waitrose. Food to feel good about.